Good morning again. This morning we're going to be looking at some stories of the Bible. We'll look at the rich fool, the rich young ruler, and Zacchaeus. The question we want to start off with on our lesson today is, what is our focus in life about? Is our focus about wealth? Is it about our appearance? Is our focus about our stature in society? Is our focus about politics? Is our focus about the size of our home? Is our focus about our neighborhood we live in? Is our focus about the car we drive? Is our focus about vacations? Is our focus about health and being a member of a gym to work out and maintain health? What is our focus? There are many other things we could list. What is our focus? As you can tell, every one of these things I listed are physical. Every physical thing we focus on will let you down. Every one of them. They're not fair. The physical things are not fair that we focus on. And they discriminate when compared to other people. Not one person in here has the same dollar account in the bank right now. Not one of us. Is that fair? None of us have the same home as the next one, probably. Some may have bigger position in society than others. All these things, just physical. But we put a lot of focus on those. They'll let us down. They'll discriminate. All physical things, all of them, including ourselves, have expiration dates and will not last forever. When we're born to die. Simple. That's what we're born, we're going to die. So don't put your trust and don't put our focus in these physical things. We need to focus on some of these things just to sustain life. We've got to work. We've got to do these kind of things to earn income. That should not be our focus. The Bible teaches us that our focus should be on things eternal, that are everlasting, and will not discriminate or let you down. That should be our focus. The Bible's message is about eternity. That's it. Very little is given about physical things. We'll talk a little bit about that a few verses later. A biblical focus will teach us this world should not be our focus, but we should focus on an eternity of salvation in heaven, which will give us a peace that passes all understanding. All these physical things will let you down. We may feel good right now. Things may be going well right now, but they will let you down. The Bible will not. Its message will not. God will not. But if we let the physical things interfere with our lives, then we will let God down. And the heavenly blessings we talked about will not be ours. Let's look at these three Bible teachings, these Bible stories that I mentioned earlier, to understand God's thoughts on this matter. We're going to begin with the rich fool. Luke chapter 12 is where this is found. Verses 16 through 21 is where we will be reading. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" The rich fool had it going his way. thought he had it made. So he's going to just quit working, take off, and just exist and live off his wealth, live off his crops, live off his plenty. But God called him a fool. Why? Because he laid up treasure for himself and was not rich toward God. Let's look at some verses to describe a few of these key verses of what we just read out of the Bible. We're going to start with several verses out of Ecclesiastes. We're going to look at verse 19 of what we just read and kind of focus on it for a minute. And it said, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for you. Many years, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what the fool said. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9 will give us some insight, as will the others. It says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. We can do what we want to do. We can all enjoy the pleasures of our riches. We can do these things. But what does God say? But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment, us into judgment. So what we do with our life does make a difference. Where our focus is does make a difference. How we use the blessings from God does make a difference. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 tells us this. Nothing is better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Is this being a contradiction? It's not. Nothing is better than a man should eat and drink, that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. What's the difference? I'm laboring. I'm earning it. I'm not just out there existing. I'm putting in the effort. When you quit working, you become slothful. You become lazy. And then you'll also quit doing things for the Lord too. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 through 13 tells us this about that. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. It's a gift of God. We earn it, we get it. We remember in the Bible where we are taught, you don't work, you don't eat. God rewards us for our effort. But because of the original sin of the Garden of Eden, man will have to sweat by his brow and work by the sweat of his brow in order to eat, in order to enjoy the things that are physically needed in life. So you've got to work. But God's going to bless you for that effort. He's going to give you what you need. He wants you to enjoy it. Notice he's not telling you to go out there and go fishing. He's not telling you to go deer hunting, not go take a big vacation. He's not telling you to go buy a second house. He's telling you to enjoy what? The things you need. That's what he's telling you to do. Eat, drink, enjoy that. Because you've earned it through your labor. God give you that blessing. Ecclesiastes 5:18 says, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his heritage. You know, we've inherited the right to enjoy that if we work for it. It's our heritage. But we work in the sun. We earn it. Our jobs may not have us in the sun, but the point is this, that we have to work. We have to put in the hours and keep doing it over and over and over throughout our life. Ecclesiastes 8:15 says, so I commended So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry, for this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. That's important, that we understand that we're going to be rewarded when we do what God tells us to do. We're going to be rewarded. Let's look back at verse 20. This is of the rich fool. It says, but God said to him, after he said he wasn't going to do anything but enjoy it, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose things will those be which you provided? Look at Psalms 52 and verse 7. Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Here is the man who did not make God his strength. Talking about the rich young fool. He didn't make God his strength, but he trusted in what? His riches, the abundance of his riches. And strengthened himself in what? His wickedness. This is where the rich fool sinned. He strengthened himself. He trusted in his own riches. And he did not make God his strength. Psalms 39 and verse 6 says, surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. What could the rich young fool have done with those riches if he'd have put them to work for the Lord? And when he quit working, he quit gaining. He wasn't making interest with what the Lord had given him, was he, when he did that? He wasn't making things better for the Lord. He was only using it for himself. He became wicked with that attitude. In verse 21, so is he who lays up riches for himself and is not rich toward God. Look what's being said there. James 5, verses 1 through 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. The rich fool has been condemned, hasn't he? He did not make God his strength. We're nothing without God. If we think we're the ones that are calling the shots, well, we're also the ones that are not going to last forever. When our body fails and we die, or we're in an accident that kills us, whatever, what are we going to be able to do about it then? We're not going to be able to do anything about it. We're going to let ourselves down because we didn't keep God as our strength. We didn't keep God as a reason we get up every day and work and serve and live. Do we need the second home for the weekends so we can get away from life on earth? Do we need exotic vacations and travels here and there and a bucket list of all the things we want to do? A bucket list ought to have one thing in it, heaven. That's all we need. Now, if we're able to go do these other things, that's well and that's good, but don't make that the reason you get up out of bed every day. The reason we get out of bed every day is to serve the Lord and make sure our soul is on the track it needs to be and that our focus keeps it there. That's what we need to be doing. And I'm not condemning people that have second homes. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying that does not need to be our focus. Let's look now at our second example, the rich young ruler. The first example showed a very foolish result with what his wealth had. Let's see what the rich young ruler, what his focus was on. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27 is where we'll be reading here. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus told him, sell all you have, give to the poor, and you will have what? Treasure in heaven. Come, take your cross and follow me. But the rich young ruler was not happy with that answer, because his focus, his value, was on what he had, not what Jesus offered. Heaven was not his focus. Salvation was not his focus. Eternity in heaven was not his focus. But what he had was. He was sad. A great price had to be paid in order to get into heaven. Jesus knew his heart. He knew he needed this lesson. He gave it to him. But he did not like it. Verse 17, we're going to look at that a minute. And it said, if you remember, we started in our reading, "Now as he was going out on the road, he came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" That was his original question. The reading ended with his disappointment in the answer, but that was his original question. Look at John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you should believe in him whom he sent.'" Jesus told him the answer. What must I do? Jesus told him. But what did the rich young ruler do? He was sad and went away. Didn't accept the answer. He went away. He did not believe in whom had said it. Our job is to believe in him whom he sent. God sent Jesus. We are to believe in him. We are to do what he says. That's the only way. If you believe, that's all you can do, is what he says. One thing you lack. Oh, one thing. Only one thing. Because he had put his heart, his mind, his soul, and his effort in his possessions. Jesus knew it. Let's look at verse 18. "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but the one, that is God.'" We can look over at 1 Samuel 2:2. It says that no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. There's no other Lord. There's no other God. There's nothing holy but God. No one. We try to make our possessions, we try to make our physical things holy. We tried to make them like God. We tried to make them our rock, our foundation. But we cannot do that. God does not want us to do that. He knows they will fail us. The only thing that will not fail us is his son and his teachings. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that they may be well with you in the land which your Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So that's reiterating what we read in verse 18 a little bit ago. Why do you call me good? No one is one who is good. So, that's Old Testament law, isn't it? Mosaic law. This guy was doing some of that stuff, but it wasn't enough. He still lacked. Look at verse 21. Let's see what the story is about that one. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, that you believe. Excuse me, I'm on the wrong line, aren't I? Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. That's verse 21. And look over in Luke 12, 33 through 34 to give us some insight on this. It says what? Sell what you have, give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Don't make riches our treasure. We don't need to make our riches our treasures. We need to use our riches to glorify God, to serve God. Physical things will let us down. Don't make them our focus. Look at Matthew 6, 19 through 21. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Parallel scripture, isn't it? One from Luke, one from Matthew. It's important. God wrote this Bible. You know, there's thousands of pages, thousands of words. And sometimes he mentioned things more than once. They're important. It only takes one thing to lose it. You know, some of our examples have showed these guys had some things going for them, but then there was one thing that didn't. And then when the Lord called it out, they were not willing to adjust. Mark 8, 34 through 35. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Our riches cannot save us, but our riches and what we do with them can condemn us. Think about that. It condemned the rich fool, didn't it? The rich young ruler wasn't willing to turn loose of him. All he had to do was that to go and get to heaven. It's important that we understand that these are not where our focus needs to be. And our last story is Zacchaeus. It won't take long here. Luke 19, 1 through 10, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he, that is Zacchaeus, has gone to be a guest with, Jesus has gone to be a guest with a man that is Zacchaeus, who is a sinner. They didn't like Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house, so all the sinners were calling Zacchaeus a sinner. Kind of like the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? Then verse 8, Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I have given half my goods to the poor, and I have taken anything, and if I have taken anything by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he, that is Zacchaeus, also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Pretty good story right there. Some things you notice in this story was Zacchaeus was a tax collector. They were not well thought of. They were known for doing things illegally and taking money they shouldn't take. He was rich. Doesn't surprise you. He was a tax collector. And he was short in stature. But the thing that stood out to me in this first reading was in verse 3, and he, that is Zacchaeus, sought to see who Jesus was. He had everything. He was rich. But he sought to see who Jesus was. Let's look at verse 8. Before I do that, I would just like to make one comment. At the end of that verse 9, where it said, "Man has come to seek, and the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost," that tells me Christ took a personal interest in Zacchaeus' salvation. That's what's being shown right there. Notice it said, when I said that he sought to see who Jesus was, Jesus knew that. He knew where his heart was. He knew where his focus was. So Jesus took a personal interest in it. Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Psalm 41, 1 through 2 says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies." There's something to be said about giving to the poor, isn't it? The Old Testament bears that out, verifies what Zacchaeus was doing was a good thing. And then 2 Samuel 12:6 says, "And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." A man had stole a lamb that he shouldn't, didn't have didn't feel bad for doing it. And he was told to restore fourfold. Well, Zacchaeus said, "If I ever do this, I do that. I restore it fourfold." So he tried to take care of what the law of Moses taught. His heart was right. He was rich, but he still wanted to do right. And then verse 9, and Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." So that's why is that important, son of Abraham? Let's look at that first. Romans 4:16. "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Think about that. And then let's add to that Galatians 3:7-9. "Therefore know that only those who are of the faith of the sons of Abraham and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel of Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Faith in Abraham. It said, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." And then it says, "Those who are of faith are blessed with believing in Abraham." So Abraham was important in this example. It said there in verse 9, "Because Zacchaeus also is a son of Abraham." Well, he had been taught, because Abraham had been taught. And Abraham had taught what God wanted people to do. And he would be blessed because of that. Verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Luke chapter 5, 32. I have not come to call righteousness, but sinners to repentance. And Romans 5, 8 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was showing his love. In all three of these examples, he was telling them what they lacked or what they needed to do. He was there for them. Zacchaeus was condemned by the world, that is, the people that was saying he was a sinner, but not by Jesus. Jesus didn't condemn him for being a tax collector. He knew his heart. He knew his focus. So the question today is, which Bible story are we living? Which Bible story are we going to live? I'd be willing to say, but what we read about Zacchaeus, that he probably went on and lived a pretty good life. Probably served the Lord because he wanted to find out. The world cannot save us. Only Jesus. What will be our focus? Eternal salvation or the world? That's our question. That's our lesson today. And as always, we want to offer an invitation to anybody that may have any need that we can serve at this moment. If there are people who know the Word, have heard the Bible's lesson on salvation, you know that Romans 10, 13, 17 teaches about hearing the Word, and that Mark 16, 16, John 3, 16 teaches about believing. Acts 2, 38 teaches about repenting. Romans 10, 9 through 10 teaches about confession, and 1 Peter 3, 21 about being baptized. If you know this, then you're ready to put on Christ in baptism and start living for the Lord. And if you have anything going on in your life in a personal way where you see where you failed God, you've fallen short of being what the Lord wants us to be, then you need, and if you think you need the prayers of the church for that or any other reason, we offer that opportunity for you as well. So if you have any needs, we ask you at this time to come while we stand and sing.